Let me begin with a small scandal. On a modern piano, C sharp major and D flat major are the same keys. You press the same notes. The instrument does not object. But for much of Western history, tuning did object, quite strongly. Some intervals rang cleanly, others bit. Some keys were comfortable, others were awkward, sour, or practically unusable. That is our subject. Not tuning as a technical nuisance, not something to be left to piano technicians and organ builders, but one of the hidden conditions of Western music. Because before a composer could move freely through all 12 keys, an instrument had to permit it. And that permission was not always available. So when Bach writes a prelude and fugue in every major and minor key, he is not merely displaying diligence. He is announcing a new world. Earlier in the course, you learned that keys are not just labels. They are gravitational systems. You also learned that enharmonic equivalence becomes one of the great doors through which later harmony escapes its older confinements. But that story has a practical prehistory. Music theory often speaks as though keys were always equally available. They were not. If you tune by pure ratios, or anything close to them, some intervals become extraordinarily beautiful, others become compromised. The more you want every key to function, the more you must distribute impurity across the system. That is the heart of temperament. You are making a bargain. Do you want a few intervals to be perfectly pure with others intolerable? Or do you want every key to be usable, even if none is absolutely pure? That is not merely a technical decision. It changes what composers can imagine. Today I want to give you 5 ideas: just intonation, temperament, well temperament, equal temperament, and key character. These are not esoteric footnotes. They explain why Bach matters here, why the well-tempered clavier matters, and why later harmonic travel becomes possible at the scale it does. A few terms. Just intonation. A tuning system based on simple whole number ratios. Its intervals can sound astonishingly pure, but the system does not transpose gracefully into all keys. Temperament. Any system that adjusts intervals away from pure ratios so that the instrument functions more flexibly. In other words, impurity is redistributed for the sake of mobility. Equal temperament, the system used on most modern pianos, in which the octave is divided into 12 equal semitones. Every key becomes equally available. No interval except the octave is perfectly pure. Well temperament, a family of historical temperaments in which all keys are usable, but not identical in character. This is crucial. Well temperament is not the same thing as modern equal temperament. Key character. The idea that different keys possess distinct expressive identities. Some of that comes from tuning, some from resonance, instrument design, notation, and repertorial habit. Enharmonic equivalence. Two spellings, one sounding key on modern instruments. C sharp and D flat, for instance. Though their theoretical meaning remains different. In earlier tuning systems, that relationship can be much less easily flattened into sameness. Let us begin with the temptation of purity. A perfect fifth tuned to a simple ratio has a special kind of calm. A pure major third can seem to lock into place with almost physical satisfaction. The ear responds to this immediately, whether or not the listener knows any mathematics. That is the appeal of just intonation and related systems. When the interval is pure, it can feel almost inevitable. But the difficulty appears the moment you try to move far from your home key. Listen now. First, hear a consonance that sounds exceptionally settled. Then, imagine trying to preserve that same degree of purity as you move through remote harmonic territory. That is the problem. Purity is local. The more stubbornly you insist on it, the more the system resists free transposition.
This is one of the hidden tensions in Western music. The ear desires pure intervallic beauty, while the compositional imagination increasingly desires mobility. So temperament enters as compromise. And I do not mean that as an insult. Every tuning system is a philosophy of compromise. You cannot have everything. You can privilege purity in a few places, or you can distribute impurity more broadly and gain freedom. Listen now to the difference, not as theory, but as consequence. What happens when a system gives up a measure of purity in order to make more keys available?
The answer is not that everything becomes ugly. The answer is that the instrument becomes more politically equal. Some intervals lose their ideal innocence, but the harmonic map expands. This is why tuning history matters. It is not merely about pitch accuracy. It is about compositional possibility. Now Bach. If there is one work that belongs at the center of this lecture, it is the well-tempered clavier. The title matters, not equally tempered, well-tempered. That distinction should not be lost. Bach is not presenting a neutral machine in which all keys sound interchangeable. He is demonstrating that all 24 major and minor keys can be used meaningfully on a single keyboard. That is the achievement. Listen now to two contrasting preludes from the well-tempered clavier. Do not ask whether they are good examples of Bach. Of course they are. Ask instead what it means that they can exist side by side inside one coherent keyboard world. This is a civilizational moment. The keyboard ceases to be a local instrument tied to a few comfortable regions. It becomes a total harmonic space. And once that happens, a great deal of later music becomes imaginable in a new way. Now, a necessary refinement. Once people hear all keys are usable, they often leap to the modern conclusion that all keys are therefore equivalent. That is false historically, and not fully true even aesthetically now. In well temperament, all keys are available. They are not identical. Some feel brighter, some darker, some more strained, some more serene. This is part of what older writers mean when they speak of key character. Listen now to two keys that do not project the same word. Do not get bogged down in whether the distinction comes from tuning alone. It never does. Instrumental habit, resonance, notation, and repertorial history all participate. What matters is that keys are not experienced as interchangeable abstractions. That is why Bach's project is so rich. He is not merely proving universal access. He is exploring a landscape of distinct territories. Now come to the modern world. On the modern piano, equal temperament solves the mobility problem decisively. Every semitone is equally spaced. Every key is available. And harmonic equivalence becomes straightforward in sound, even when it remains theoretically meaningful on the page.
This is one reason later chromatic music, remote modulation, and large-scale harmonic mobility become so natural to us on a modern keyboard.
But every solution costs something. Equal temperament gives you complete flexibility. It also flattens some of the older differences. Listen now with that in mind. What do we gain when every key is equally possible? And what kinds of local character may become less pronounced as a result?
This is not an argument against equal temperament. It is an argument against forgetting that it is a historical settlement rather than the natural state of musical reality. The modern ear is trained inside one particular compromise and often mistakes it for nature. It is not nature. It is policy. Now, step back. If all of this seems technical, remember what it enables. Without a keyboard culture that can move freely across keys, the later harmonic imagination becomes harder to realize. Bach's world, Beethoven's modulation, Chopin's chromaticism, Wagner's dissolving centers, and the enharmonic pivots of the 19th century all depend, in different ways, on a tuning environment that permits increasing mobility.
Tuning is not beneath harmony. It is one of the conditions under which harmony becomes thinkable.
So why does the well-tempered clavier matter? Not because Bach wrote 48 beautiful pieces, though he did.
It matters because it demonstrates a new kind of musical space. A keyboard no longer tied to a handful of favored keys. A system in which every major and minor key can serve as a home. A world in which harmonic travel becomes practically and artistically normal.
Just intonation gives you purity. Temperament gives you mobility. Well, temperament gives you a world of usable but distinct keys. Equal temperament gives you full modern flexibility. That is the arc.
And once you hear it, the history of Western harmony feels less mysterious.
This lecture reaches backward to Track Zero's early work on key, mode, and enharmonic equivalence, and forward to advanced harmony, chromaticism, and the 19th century expansion of harmonic possibility.
It also points into Bach's portrait, the form struck where keyboard writing becomes structural rather than merely sonorous, and the Schenkerian lecture, where tonal coherence is heard beneath surface complexity.
It also changes how you hear a keyboard instrument. After this, a prelude in C major and one in B major should not feel like mere transpositions inside a neutral machine. They belong to a historical argument about what a keyboard can be.
Check yourself. I'm going to play three short excerpts. For each one, ask a different question. Does this passage sound locally pure and settled? Does it sound as though key mobility is part of the point? Does it suggest a world in which all keys are available, but not necessarily identical in character?
If one excerpt felt rooted in a narrow harmonic comfort zone, you may have been hearing the appeal of purer intervallic thinking. If one suggested free movement through contrasting tonal regions, temperament was already doing its historical work. If one felt like part of a complete keyboard map, you were hearing the world Bach helped make musically visible.
That is enough for now. The main point is not to diagnose exact tuning systems by ear every time. It is to understand that tuning changes what music can imagine. Before next time, listen to two or three preludes and fugues from the Well-Tempered Clavier, Book 1, in very different keys. Do not ask only how the pieces differ. Ask a larger question. What does it mean that one composer could inhabit all of these tonal regions on one instrument and make each one feel natural? If that question begins to feel alive, then temperament has stopped being technical background and become musical history.